Church. We know we've got some new faces here today. We're just so glad to have you. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you. We're glad to have you. We're just so honored that you could be here with us on this Labor Day Sunday morning, right? And it's just an honor. We know that God's got a plan for your life, and we want to get you connected to that. Church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our opportunity. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to have you. It's just a joy to have new faces with us all the time. And of course, we like to say this, any opportunity that we have. Of course, we think on this holiday, we think of all the people that it takes to make this nation great. We think about our veterans. We think about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, you know, when they served our nation. But we think about all of you and all of us that are living a godly life, that you're getting up every day, going to work, providing for your family, you know, working hard, being faithful to God. I'll tell you what, that is what makes our nation go round, and we're just so appreciative for you. Happy Labor Day. We hope everyone enjoys their day off tomorrow, right? Amen. And it looks like the weather is cooperating as well, so praise the Lord. Enjoy that time. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to John chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 21. And how many of you received the text message last night that kind of gave us a direction for service? Well, we're switching gears just a little bit. And we're going to be touching on some of the things I mentioned in that text message. But we're going to be switching up just a little bit. And today I'm going to call this message, I Believe in the Supernatural. I believe in the supernatural, and the purpose of this message is to remind all of us what God is doing in our lives, how He is moving in our lives, how He is speaking to us, how He is leading us and guiding us. Folks, we got to believe that God's doing great things in our lives. You know, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so we believe that God is moving in our lives. And today we just want to be reminded of some of these things, but also to stir your hunger for the supernatural move of God. I believe that God reaches out, touches lives. I believe that he provides salvation for all that will call upon His name. I believe that the Lord is a healer. I believe that He is a provider. I believe that God wants to manifest Himself to you in your life. And I can guarantee you in some way He is doing that, whether you know it or not, right? Amen. So we went to these verses, boy, a few weeks ago. I'm going to go back to these verses, and we're going to maybe take a little bit different direction than we thought. Originally, I was going to preach on, you know, the joys of redemption, and I believe that there's going to be a lot in this message along those lines, but we're just going to go a little bit of a different way. Folks, as I minister here, this is going to be a little bit different than normal. Typically, I'm very much a Bible teacher. Today, I might be sharing more testimonies, you know, that I normally would, but praise the Lord, we're going to get what God has for our lives, because the Lord is moving, and we can't be distracted from Him. Amen. Glory to God. Go to John chapter 14. These are the words of Jesus, and we're going to start there in verse 21, and He tells us something very important that He wants us to know, and this is a promise to all believers in the New Testament, whether you are living in the days just after Christ's resurrection, or you're right here in America in the 21st century, this verse is for you, and this is what the Lord says. Jesus is speaking. He says, "He that has My commandments," or we could say it this way, "He that has My word," all right, "and keeps them," or those that obey God's word. He says, "He that has My commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves Me. And he that loves Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest Myself to him." Jesus says, anyone who will obey His word, who will love His commandments, is the one that actually loves the Lord. How many of you know you can't just be sentimental about God? You can't love God with a sentimental love. You've got to love God with an obedient love. You know, there's a lot of Christians that I've seen as a pastor these 20 years where they get very sentimental about God, and they might cry over a Christian song, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or they might get sentimental about something that was spoken or something that they read. Praise God. Me and Pastor Brad, we know how to get sentimental in the pulpit. We gotta, you know, break it up all the time because I start to cry, he starts to cry, right? It's okay to be emotional with the things of God. However, how many of you know you cannot just be sentimental with God? You can be sentimental and then all of a sudden realize you're not obeying him. We've got to obey God. Amen. And we love him with an obedience, you know, with our hearts, you know, wanting to follow him. And he says, the one that obeys my word, he says, he will be loved of the Father. And Jesus says, I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Everyone say manifest. Well, that is absolutely, important for us to understand. Look at the next verse in verse 22. It says, Judas said to him, not Iscariot. Remember, you don't want to be confused with Judas Iscariot. All right. And the scripture made sure to point that out. This was the other Judas who was a disciple. It says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answers that question. He says, Jesus answered unto him and said, if a man will love me, he will keep my words or obey me. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Or literally, the Lord says, I will live with you. I will walk with you on a daily basis. You will see my hand in your life every day of your life. How many of you want to see the hand of the Lord every day of your life? I do. Amen. And if we're following his word and if we're being sensitive spiritually, we can see God's hand on our lives every day of our life. I believe it. I believe it. Amen. But go back up there to verse 21. Jesus said he would manifest himself to us. So this is the desire of the Lord. Are you ready for a definition for that word manifest? Here it is again. This word manifest, it means to openly show or to display yourself to somebody. It means to be seen. It means to be revealed. It means to be viewed. Or we might say it in our modern language, we could say it today like this: God wants to become more real in your life. He wants to be more real in your life. He wants you to not just have a dry religion, but he wants you to have a relationship. He wants you to be having encounters with the Lord every day of your life. Now, please don't try to put your own definition of what an encounter with the Lord is. It's not always super dramatic, but it still is very supernatural. And we're going to talk about the supernatural relationship that we can and should have with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, God wants to become more real to you. How does God start to become more real to you? Well, look at what Jesus said in verse 21. He says, those that have my words and those that obey them are the ones that he will manifest himself to, you know, and become more real to them. So many Christians, they wonder why these other believers have more of a supernatural walk with God. They wonder why the Lord seems to manifest himself to them, but maybe, you know, to others, but not to them. And they ask that question, and I get that all the time, or my wife will get that all the time, or no doubt many here, you've had this question, you know, proposed to you. They'll say, why does God talk to you? You know, why is the Lord, you know, he seems to be very active in your life, and it just seems like he doesn't do much in my life. Well, folks, and again, this might not be the case with everybody, but let's first check up on our obedience with the Lord. So many Christians, they never get their life with God off the ground because they don't start by walking in faith to start obeying God's word when it's difficult to do so. I'll tell you what, if you want to start a relationship with the Lord where he starts to manifest himself, you know, to you in this life, you're going to have to start by, in faith, obeying his word. You know, so many Christians, they wonder, well, where's all this supernatural stuff of God in my life? Are you in church? Are you obeying him by going to church? Are you obeying him in the tithe? Are you forgiving that, you know, person that hurt you? Are you obeying what he wrote in the word? Amen. See, when you start out by faith in a relationship with God saying, I'm going to obey him no matter what. You know, I'm going to walk in my marriage and I'm going to do what God has for me to do. I'm going to be faithful to those around me. I'm going to be faithful in church. I'm going to be faithful to the word of God. Amen. And that relationship will start to get off the ground, so to speak. And now you start to qualify for God manifesting himself to you. He wants to become more real to you. Praise the Lord. And this is why God is more real to others than they are to some. And that's because they just stepped out in faith and started obeying God's word. And he starts to do something in your life and he becomes more real. Amen. They take God's word seriously. Folks, these are people, they're not seeking experiences, but they're seeking him. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm not trying to seek an experience with God. I'm just seeking to please him. And when you do that, he will start to show up in your life where he becomes more real to you and you start to see his hand on your life every day. Amen. Praise the Lord as you obey the word. And as we start obeying the word, he's going to manifest himself in simple ways. Sometimes we don't even know or understand or see how God is manifesting. And that's where we're going to start here today. Go with me. Hold your place there in John chapter 14. Go with me to Romans and go to Romans chapter 8. And let's start looking at how the Lord manifests himself to you in simple ways. Again, they might not be very dramatic at first, but it's supernatural nonetheless. Amen? How many of you believe God is talking to you every single day of your life? That is supernatural. You know, a lot of people, they get really tripped up. You know, they get tripped up when a pastor or another Christian says, yeah, the Lord said something to me. A lot of people, they believe that they can talk to God, but they don't believe that God talks back to them. Folks, this is a relationship. It should be normal to hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice is the number one desire in my life. I want to hear God's voice more than anything. God's voice is more precious than any money you could make. God's voice is more precious than any, you know, friendship you could have. It's more precious than anything in this life. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 14. Let's start with some of the more simple ways that the Lord begins to manifest to us. Might be less dramatic, but it is supernatural. Go to Romans 8:14, and I'm going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. It says this. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So notice we cannot just have the word only, right? We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, and when it says sons, it means the children of God. Sons and daughters. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at verse 15. And it says this, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the word Abba, it means father, right? Father, Father. When you get born again, a new spirit moves onto the inside of you. The scripture calls it the spirit of adoption. And now you cry out, my Father, my Father. Amen. And then verse 16 goes on to say, you know, something very pertinent. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know that you're a child of God? The Spirit of God tells you. The Spirit of God bears witness to you, the inward witness, and you will know it. Praise the Lord. Let's just start talking about some simple ways that God starts to manifest himself to you. Praise the Lord. Notice up there in verse 15, notice it says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Father, Father. Here's one of the simplest but most profound ways that God manifests himself to you. He gives you that spirit of adoption. All of a sudden, God reveals himself to you as your Father. Amen. Glory to God. When you get, you know, that revelation of God as your Father, it's no longer impersonal. You know, he's no longer just God. He's no longer the judge. He's no longer just the creator. Now, when you get born again, when his spirit moves on the inside of you, now you cry, he is my Father. He is my caretaker. He is my life giver. He is my promise maker. Glory to God. A lot of Christians, they recognize him as God. He's God to everybody. He's God to everybody, but he's not everybody's Father. Right? Right? It's like that with your family, right? If you know, I have my sons that are here today. You know, I'm their dad, but I'm not everybody's dad. And God is, you know, God to everybody. He is the creator, but he is not everybody's heavenly Father. He is not your Father until you've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, until you've surrendered your life to him, until, you know, that new spirit comes on the inside that says, Father, I want to please you. Father, I want to obey you. Father, you know everything that I'm supposed to do, and I want to know you. Amen. Glory to God. Our life giver. Amen. Our promise keeper. That is who he is. He is the one that is going to take care of us. And notice, here's another way that God starts to manifest himself to us. When we have that spirit that cries, Father. Folks, do you have that spirit in you? When you have that spirit that cries, Father, you know, notice what it says in verse 15. We have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. See, we have received the spirit of adoption that says, my God is my Father, therefore I don't have to. Listen, the spirit of adoption to our Heavenly Father will get much louder in your life than the spirit of fear ever thought of being. Glory to God. What happens when you get a revelation of God, your Father, and your caregiver? You're going to be less afraid in this life. You don't have to live life terrified, because you've got a Heavenly Father that is looking out for you, who cares for you. Amen. How many of you would say this, since you became a Christian and you start to walk with God, you are far less afraid now than you were without him? Oh my goodness. You don't have to be scared of what's going to happen in this world. You don't have to be afraid of, you know, wars that are coming and economic problems, and you don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, our relationship with our Heavenly Father should be stronger than the spirit of fear that's just trying to put us into bondage again. Amen. If when you get down to pray and you say, my Father, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I believe that you're my living Savior. Yes. I believe that you're my provider. Yes. I believe you're my healer. Father, you are faithful with your promises. You are going to meet every need. You're going to pay every debt. I am not afraid what's happening, what's going on around me. Amen. That revelation, see, you don't have to be walking in fear. Praise the Lord. He reveals himself as Father to you, and the spirit of adoption starts to have a bigger voice in your life than the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. That is refreshing. There's a lot to be grateful for with that. Hallelujah. I don't have to be afraid of a financial situation. I've got a Father.
That's it.
I don't have to be afraid of sickness and disease. I've got a Father. I don't have to be afraid of what the doctor told me. I don't have to be afraid of what's going on with the job. I don't have to be afraid of having money or not. I've got a Father who has it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's where God wants us to know him as Father. He wants to reveal himself as your Heavenly Father and caregiver. Amen. Here's another way that he starts to manifest himself to you. How about being led by the Holy Ghost? How about being led by the Holy Ghost? Go up there to verse 14. It says, for as many as are what? Led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. Notice, God has divine assignments for you that are tailored strictly for you. You know, he leads us with the Spirit because everybody's plan in their life is different from the next. Okay? The Bible is the general guidance for everybody. However, the scripture does not tell you who to marry. The scripture doesn't tell you where to work. The scripture doesn't tell you where to live and where to go to church. The scripture doesn't give you specific details for your life. But how many of you know the Holy Ghost has specific details for your life? And God is looking for people that will be so obedient, so sensitive to Him, that He can speak to them by just a simple inward witness, where we know what to do because He gently just puts that desire in our heart. He leads us and guides us, you know, with just that impulse of what to do. We might call it a gut feeling, you know, but the Bible says it's really the candle of the Lord is in our spirit, and God wants to put His light on the inside of us and lead us. How many of you have been led to do something by the Holy Ghost where He told you to do something that maybe seemed just out of nowhere to you? You know, come on, you know, show me those hands. You've been led by the Holy Ghost. That's supernatural. We take it for granted, but I would never want to be without that ever again. Oh my goodness, how the Holy Ghost, you know, will lead us. He will simply, I mean, He has done miraculous things, you know, in my life by just a simple witness to do something. He might put a witness in your heart to go up and give somebody money. He'll put a witness in your heart to start serving in the ministry of helps, because He's going to open another door later in your life and lead you and guide you. Amen. He's going to start giving you assignments. Folks, Pastor Brad already quoted that verse over there in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we are new create, or we've been recreated in Christ to do good works that God already prepared in advance for us to do. But you've got to be close to Him to get the assignment. Amen. It is supernatural to have the inward witness lead us and guide us. Boy, we all seem real excited about that today. Folks, it'll save your life. Amen. Hallelujah. The inward witness, it's just an inner knowing. It's an inner scratching. It's just like an impulse just to know in your heart what to do, where to go. I mean, there's so many times when it's come to, you know, making investments or making decisions, and the Lord will say, not that one, that one. Oh, you know, in ministry, I could just, you know, testify so many times, you know, the Lord just gave me an inner witness. Do this, don't do that. I mean, you know, I was standing in front of the Erie Church building. When we were looking for that, for a building out there for that church over 11 years ago, I mean, we were just looking at dozens of properties. And finally, the real estate agent said, come on out and look at this. There's a building. It's not officially for sale, but the people are thinking about selling it. It's the former Amish Buggy Furniture Store. They were just getting ready to liquidate the store, and they were going to sell the building. And I went and I looked at the building, and I thought to myself, I don't like this building. I don't like the parking lot. There was a lot about it that I didn't like. I stood out in front of that building, and just on the inside, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is the one. Folks, we need to have that inward witness. Praise the Lord. What is that verse? What is that verse? Is it Colossians 3:15? How about, can we bring Colossians 3:15? I think that's the chapter and verse. I'll be honest, I'm hearing it play on the inside. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's what the inner witness will look like. Do you have a green light in your spirit to do something? Or do you have a red light to do, not to do something? Can you bring this up in the Amplified? Look at this verse. This is supernatural. God will give you peace to do something, or no peace to do something. It says, let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act as an umpire continually. Okay. How many of you know you have an umpire living with you? The inward witness. What do umpires do? They call you safe or they call you out. There's so many Christians, they've never developed this supernatural element of their life, where they're listening on the inside and God, His Spirit, is acting like an umpire within them. And He'll give you peace. And you'll know, okay, it's safe to move forward with this. or he'll give you a lack of peace. And you'll just know it's not the way to go. It says, let that peace that comes from Christ act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. How are you going to know as a Christian what to do? Listen to the umpire on the inside. Listen to that supernatural leading. Folks, this is what makes us different than people that don't know Christ. We've got the Spirit leading us as the sons and daughters of God. It says, let that decide and settle all questions that arise in your minds. That peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful and appreciative, giving praise to God always. We should praise God for that inward witness. And I believe people that are actively willing to praise God will have that witness more in their life. Amen. Go back to Romans 8:14. Actually, bring up verse 16. Look at Romans 8:16. Are you still over there? Oh, are you here today? We're going to start talking about even more dramatic things of the Holy Ghost, but we don't want to pass over the ones that we will deal with every day. Folks, being led by the Spirit. You know, so many Christians, they never even get to this place because they don't start obeying God's word. If you start obeying God's word, if you'll be willing to be sold out to what he wrote in his book, you will then start hearing his voice and you can start selling out to that, you know, to that leading in your heart, and God will lead you. Amen. Folks, I tell you what, the mind is a terrible place to live. The mind is a terrible place to make all your decisions. I don't make decisions out of here. I make decisions out of here. Listen to this. God is giving you answers every day. It says in verse 16, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit. That means he testifies. Literally, you could say it this way. There's like the court of your heart, you know, like on the inside of your inner being, there is a court in session, so to speak. You know, and the Holy Spirit is giving a testimony of what is going to be safe for you or not safe for you. Are you here today? Oh, praise the Lord. And I tell you what, if you'll listen to that witness, many times God will stretch your faith. God will challenge you to do things that you would never think to do on your own. Oh, my goodness. The things that God has told me to do just through that inward witness when it didn't make any logical sense, but then he showed me how it opened a door, how it provided opportunities. Are you here today? Amen. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost bears witness, being led by that inward witness. That means the candle of your spirit is now lit with the light of God, you know, and you start walking in that light, and now things start to arise in your life. Hope starts to come alive. Doors start to open. Praise the Lord. Here's another way that the Lord manifests himself. Are you ready for this one? How about spiritual conviction? Spiritual conviction. Now, you know, conviction is a good thing. We're not going to turn there, but I'm going to bring up a verse here real quick. It's actually back there in the Gospel of John. It is John 16:8. Can you bring up John 16:8 for us? These are the words of Jesus that when he told us what the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. And this is the part that we don't like. We think the Holy Ghost just was sent to make us laugh. We think that the Holy Ghost was just sent to make us dance. You know, we thought that the Holy Ghost was just there to be the party maker. All right. But before he starts a party, he does something else. Before he does anything, this is what he does. Jesus is talking about the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is come, he will reprove or correct or convict the world of sin. Woo! He says he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Whoa! People say, well, that's not a move of the Holy Ghost. That's not going to make anyone laugh or dance. All right? But this is what the Holy Ghost does first. There's not going to be any laughing, any dancing until those things are taken care of first. That's what the Holy Ghost wants you to know first and foremost. Notice he says the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to reprove. That word reprove, it means to convict the world of sin. How many of you have ever been in a church service like this one and you sat there, you heard the word of God, and you just knew you were getting corrected? You knew it was for you. You just knew in the core of your inner self that you were guilty. Yeah, come on now. That's right. We should love correction. Jesus said, as many as I rebuke, I love. Revelation 3:19, right? He tells us over there, Proverbs 3:11-12, you know, don't grow weary of the Lord's correction. For whom he loves, he rebukes. Even as a father in the Son, he does delight. If you want God to delight in you, receive correction. People say, well, I don't want to be told that I'm doing anything wrong. Well, then you're full of pride. You're full of pride if you don't want to be corrected. It isn't what you're doing right that's going to hurt you. God just corrects us because he loves us. He says, as many as I love, I correct. You know, amen. We should ask for, you know, correction from the Lord every day if it takes it. Glory to God. But that word reprove and convict, it's good. We should have services where we get convicted. How many of you know when you heard that message from, you know, the pastor or whoever was preaching, you just knew it's for you? How many of you know that's supernatural at that moment? Supernatural. It's not dramatic, but it's God speaking to you. It is God saying, I want to be more real in your life. This is my voice to you. This is my correction for you because I love you and I've got a plan for you. Amen. But that word convict, it doesn't just mean to be indicted for things that we've done wrong. All right. It also means, are you ready for this? Conviction also means the quality. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you, right? Praise the Lord. But how many of you know conviction isn't just, you know, being told what we're doing wrong? Conviction is the quality of proving what you believe. All right? We need to be people of convictions. Yeah. Amen. Conviction. It's not just an indictment of what you're doing wrong, but it is the quality of demonstrating how convinced you are of what you believe. Yeah. Conviction means being convinced. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. How convinced are you that Jesus is Lord and Savior? Right. How convinced are you that Jesus is healer? Yes. How convinced are you that the house of God is sacred to him? How convinced are you that forgiveness is sacred to God? How convinced are you that tithing is in his word? Oh, conviction is the proof or the demonstration that we are convinced of who he is. The reason why Christians can sometimes they cry about God and they get sentimental about God, but yet they don't obey him is because they haven't gotten convinced. What does Romans chapter 4 tell us about why Abraham did the great things that he did? He got convinced. He got convinced. Well, I don't want to do this, Pastor. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. You're not convinced yet. You're not convinced that the house of God is important to him. Well, Pastor, I don't really need to read the Bible. You're not convinced. Oh, I don't believe in healing. You're not convinced. Oh, I don't believe in that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in speaking in tongues because you're not convinced. I don't believe I've got to treat my spouse right. You're not convinced. See, it's conviction that arrests your heart. It gets a hold of you and just won't allow you to do certain things in this life. There's just certain things that because you're so convinced of God's presence in your life, you know, certain behaviors are just no longer an option in your life. You know, it's just not an option for me to go out and get drunk. It's just not an option. Right. It's been however many years. Let's see. It was January 18th of 2003 when I had my last drink. It's just not an option to go back to that anymore. Why? Because I'm convinced of the Lord's lordship in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you convinced? You know, when you see people in a church like this and they've got their hands up and they're praising and worshiping God, they're just convinced that God is worth it more than your opinions against them. I don't care what people think of me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Get convinced. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. This lack of conviction is what hurts believers more than they could ever realize. They're living a life without convictions. They just think, well, I don't have the conviction. I don't have, you know, the proof in my life that, you know, I shouldn't get drunk. I just, you know, feel like I can do that and still know Christ. I'm here to tell you, convictions are a good thing. Hallelujah. Supernatural in your life. Amen. You don't want to live without them. Praise God. Here's another thing, the way that the Lord manifests in your life. How about deliverance from danger? Have any of you ever been preserved from a dangerous situation and you just knew it was God that saved you? Oh, amen. And now I'm going to start telling some testimonies as we get a little further into this message. Back in, I guess it was January of 2022, I was down in Pensacola, Florida by myself. My family was not with me. And I was down there for a conference with Reverend Randy Greer. He was holding some meetings. And the first day of the meetings, which was a Tuesday, I was down there in my 1995 GMC conversion van.
Yeah,
yeah. People, why would you be driving that? Why wouldn't I be driving that? So what were you driving that old van for? What are you, some kind of creeper or something? Nah. Oh, I found it. If you haven't been around, you know, long around here, I love old vehicles of every type. I just love old vehicles, you know. And so I was down there in my van. I was there, you know, by myself, and it was the morning before the meetings were set to start that night. And I was in Gulf Breeze, Florida, right outside Pensacola, and on the panhandle of Florida there. And I was at a stoplight out in front of this Walmart. And down in Florida, they have so many of those kind of two-lane, double-split, you know, boulevards down there where traffic is moving at like 50, 55 miles an hour, but there's still stoplights. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's still traffic lights every once in a while, but traffic is moving, and there's kind of a grass median in between the two lanes, but it's not quite a full interstate. So there was a traffic light on this road, and I was sitting at the red light. I was the first vehicle under the red light there, and I'm just sitting there waiting, you know, minding my own business, and this young man who was looking at his telephone while he was driving, all you teenagers, listen up, listen up. He's staring at his phone. He didn't even hit his brakes. He slammed into me, going 50 miles an hour, according to the police report. That's what they thought, how fast he was going by the evidence of the crash. 50 miles an hour. I'm just sitting there waiting for the light to turn green. All of a sudden, boom, this huge crash. And all I remember is going up like this, and my face hit the headliner of the vehicle. The seatbelt stopped me, but I just went straight up a little bit, and my face went bonk into that cushy padded conversion. You wonder why those conversion vans have all that weird material in there? It didn't hurt me at all. I just hit that thing, and I came back, you know, down in my seat. I was wearing my seatbelt. It pushed my van several feet, you know. It just crushed that van. I'm sitting there, and I'm going to confess right now, my first thought was, I'm going to beat this guy. That was the first thought that jumped into my mind. Whoever did this is, you just crashed into my van, you're done. You know, and I started like feeling temper and anger rise up. But that's why the Bible says the love of God constrains us. Don't blame me for the thought I had. Give me some credit for keeping the thought down, right? And so I get out, and this kid, he's getting out. His car, which was an older Toyota, and it was smashed. It looked like an accordion. His vehicle looked way worse than mine. And I was like, oh my goodness, is this kid all right? Well, he comes out of his airbags and all this stuff, and he gets out, and he's a little dazed, obviously, and I was a little dazed. And I come out, and I just walk up to him, and I could just tell by the way he was acting. I said, you were looking at your phone, weren't you? I said, don't lie to me. You're looking at your phone. And he said, oh, no. I said, yes, you were. But anyway, the police later determined he was texting at the very moment he crashed into me. He literally, anyhow, that was the investigation. They determined that. He confessed it and all this stuff. I didn't sue the guy. His dad showed up, was terrified that I was going to sue the pants off of them. I probably could have paid off the church. But I came over to this kid after I calmed myself down, because I know you're all more spiritual than me. I calmed myself down on the inside. I was polite to him. He was over there at the side. All the emergency vehicles show up. I walk up to him and I said, hey, I was fine. And I walked up and I said, hey, you know, to his dad as well, standing there. I said, I know you're concerned here that I'm, you know, going to be Sue happy and I'm going to go after you and all this. I just want to let you know I don't believe in that, because the Lord canceled my debts. And so I am not coming after you. I am not hurt. I am not, you know, trying to take you. And you should have seen the relief come over them. The relief that came over them. And so all the EMS, you know, people, they show up. They're like, we got to take you to the hospital. You're hurt and you don't even realize it. There's no way. They saw the crash. I should have had pictures for you. They're like, there's no way you're not hurt. I said, I'm not hurt. They said, get in. You know, and I had like maybe a little headache, you know, going on or something. That was about it. You know, and I got into the ambulance and they took me. I got there and a doctor walked in and, you know, was aware of the crash. They said, we've got to get you to x-ray. You probably have multiple broken bones. Adrenaline is just, you know, taking over and all this. And I said, no, I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt at all. They did. It was precautionary to take the x-rays and all that. And lo and behold, no broken bones. Nothing was wrong. She said, you are going to be sore for weeks. You're not going to be able to walk. You're going to be so sore. Long story short, I just got out of the hospital, went back to the hotel room, caught a little nap, and went to Reverend Greer's service. Completely 100% fine. I know to this very day that it was the angel of the Lord that just spared me. And gave me an opportunity just to be gracious to that young man and his dad. And I had insurance companies. Oh my goodness, I'm not even telling you the full story. Time doesn't permit. Can I let you in on something? I wasn't planning on sharing this. I got to back up. So I got there. That was a Tuesday. I got down there in Florida that Monday. And the week before I went on this trip, I found an old Ford truck for sale. And this old Ford truck, it was you know, kind of rusty, but it was in good shape enough. It ran good and all this. Lo and behold, I bought that Ford truck for $1,500. All right. Praise the Lord for a $1,500 Ford. And trucks were in so demand. I was like, all right, if I buy this for $1,500, I can do a little work to it and sell it for even more. Long story short, I did that. And a woman in Niagara Falls called me about that truck, and I sold it to her for like $3,500. I didn't make a ton of money, but I made a little bit of money, right? And so while the day of the crash, literally that morning, she had gotten a hold of me. Is everybody listening to this? This is why you gotta have a supernatural relationship with God. The morning before the crash, she gets a hold of me and says, hey, I just wanted to let you know the truck that I got from you, I'm not trying to blame you or anything, but the transmission went out. And she's like, I went to have it looked at, and the transmission shop says it's going to be $800 or $900 to fix. And of course, my heart went out to her, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, what are the chances? Here we go. I said, all right, I'll be happy to pay for that transmission work. And so I got off the phone or whatever. I was praying before the day was starting. The Lord spoke to me and said, you call her back and give her back all of her money. I'm like, why would I do that? You want to give her money, you give her money. I'm thinking, why would I give her all the money back? $3,700 or whatever it was. It was $3,500, $3,700, some number like that. I'm like, why am I going to give her all the money back when I'll just fix a transmission? That would be, I don't even have to do that. Legally speaking, I didn't even have to. I didn't know it had a transmission problem, all that. And so the Lord says, give her all that money back. I get her on the phone. Her name was Deborah. I said, Deborah, I just want to let you know. And it turns out she was a Christian, a real faithful Christian lady. And I said, Deborah, I just want to let you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you all your money back. So you can keep the truck, get it fixed, and then have free truck and all the money left over. And she starts crying and weeping on the phone. And I'm like, trust me, it isn't that big of a deal. Believe me, I'm going to get in trouble with God if I don't do this. I go out. Are you ready for this? And I'm almost so reluctant to share this because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. But this is what happened. I go out. I get crashed into. And I'm thinking, good thing I'm being a nice guy today, you know. Boom, crash, you know. But I was supernaturally protected. I went to the meeting that night. And then I was in Pensacola the next few days. I'm talking to insurance people. Long story, before I even left to go home from Pensacola, the insurance adjusters, just for the value of my van, they asked me if I wanted to pursue anything for bodily harm, you know, pain and suffering. And I said, no, because I'm not in pain or suffering. If I would have been, then maybe that, you know, if it would have hurt me and I would have needed to, you know, be compensated or something. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I was not hurt and I wasn't going to say that I was hurt when I wasn't hurt. You don't lie about stuff like that. So once the health side of things were cleared, I was dealing with the value of my 95 GMC van. How much do you think 95 GMC vans are worth? A little? It was a nice one, all right, but it was old and it wasn't anything that special. Lo and behold, how it worked out through just the value of that van, they gave me $30,000. You go find a 95 GMC van. I had nowhere near that money in that van. Nowhere near it. I said, wait a minute. How is that? Wait. I even started to argue. Like, why would you, you know, what in the world? The insurance adjuster, he said this. He's like, I have never seen this in the history of my working here. He's like, that's what they want to give you for this accident, you know, the van. And then they said, you can keep the van. I mean, why do you want that van? Well, because that van, as damaged as it was, could be fixed. It was, and it was, I completely fixed that van, you know, the way it was, and then resold it. Yeah. And it was in nice shape, and the people are still driving it to this day. They bought it, and they cart around their dogs in it and all this stuff. Who in the world gets $30,000 for a 95 GMC van? I'll tell you who. Someone who could hear the voice of God and be willing to obey the most illogical, the most, you know, nonsensical idea that I could have ever imagined was just to give her all her money back plus the truck. Yes. When you hear the voice of God, listen. Yes. Obey. We serve a supernatural God. Here's another way that God can manifest himself to you. How about healing in your body? Oh, yeah. How many of you have ever been healed in your body and you know it was God that did it in your life? Amen. He manifests himself. And again, you know, I'm sharing some testimonies here today. You know, and again, I know many of you have heard it. We have new people. And so I'd like to share this testimony because when I was a junior in high school, I was 16 years old. And when I was 6 years old, I had had some serious health problems as a kid. For some reason, my immune system gave up. When I was 6 years old, I got real sick. I was taken to Cleveland Clinic. My white blood cells, for whatever reason, were bottoming out. And, you know, I recovered as a six-year-old. And then when I was 16 years old, it happened to me all over again. My white blood cell count got so low that they, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, thousands and thousands of white blood cells in your body. I was down to less than 100 white blood cells in my body. And I got a serious infection. So much so that when they took me to Roswell Cancer Institute, they did not know what was wrong with me. They could not figure it out. I had one of the leading surgeons up there in Roswell Cancer Institute look at me. He asked my parents to leave the room. He pulled his chair up to me, and he said, Tim, you either have AIDS or you have lymphoma cancer, or an extreme form of Hodgkin's disease that we have not seen before. I was hospitalized for 8 days. My fever reached 107 degrees. They had to pack me in ice, and I was hospitalized for 8 days. They could not find that infection in my body. My lymph nodes were so swollen that they were out past my jawbones. You know, it looked like I had swallowed like grapefruit or oranges or something. I had huge infection in my body. I finally got well enough that I could leave the hospital, and I had some friends that invited me to a healing service down in Waterford, Pennsylvania. Now, I grew up in a very conservative Baptist denomination, and so we didn't believe in Holy Ghost services, right? And I got to this service, and people are laying hands on one another, and all this was going on. And finally, they gave an invitation to come up if you were sick. And I didn't even want to go. I mean, I was so, I rejected the things of the Holy Spirit so much that I almost would have rather have stayed sick. Yeah. Folks, if we're not careful, we would rather have it the world's way than God's way. And you don't want that. And finally, one of my friends just forced me to go up front, and I walked up front, and my neck was still swollen. It was very tender, sore. My lymph nodes were huge. It was a big problem. And this minister stood in front of me, and he just took the oil, you know where I'm going with this. He took the oil on his hand. He grabbed my neck, which was tender and sore. And he said, in the name of Jesus, sickness, get out of this body. Then he started to thrash me back and forth, like literally like taking me down low. And I, inside of my mind, I was thinking, I'm going to punch this guy. It was hurting me so bad, I thought, I got to defend myself, you know. And then right before I punched him, he stopped. You know, no, I probably wouldn't have. And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, all right, Tim. He said, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. He said, for the next however week or two, whatever he said, when you're home and when you're in the shower, he said, take soap. He said, wash your neck. He said, hold out your left arm and with your right hand, wash your neck and go down your left arm and say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, get out of my body. He said, do that several times each day. I honestly didn't believe in that at the time. I was a young man. I really wasn't taught in that kind of direction. And so I got home and I was, you know, cleaning up and everything. And I thought to myself, what's it going to hurt? I always believed in Jesus. You know, I was raised in a Christian home and things. I just wasn't, you know, familiar with that kind of ministry or whatnot. And I just started to do that every day in the name of Jesus, get out of my body. Within a few days, all of a sudden, the swelling disappeared. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I was right back there in front of that doctor in Roswell Cancer Institute. He asked my parents to get out of the room. He wheeled up in front of me, and the first two words out of his mouth were, what happened? What happened? And the swelling was gone. All the infection had left my throat. I had such an infection in my throat that the doctor told me that there was multiple colors in my throat because it was so infected. All that went away within that time, and that surgeon, he said, what happened? And he blinked at me really hard, just blinking at me. He's like, what happened to you? And I said, doc, the only thing I can tell you is I went to a strange church service. Because it was strange to me. I went down there to Waterford, Pennsylvania, and some guy in the name of Jesus Christ oiled up his hand, grabbed my neck, thrashed me around, told the sickness to come out of my body, and then told me to go home and wash down my left arm and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of my body. And the guy just looked at me and he blinked so hard. He said his words, literally, well, it worked. He said, we did not know what happened to you. You know, we didn't know what you were going through. He says, but you are not the same kid that was here just weeks before. He said, you're not the same kid. And he said, well, you know what happened? Because you were 6 years old, this happened. 16 years old, you know, it happened. So probably when you're 26, 36 and beyond, you're going to go through this all your life. I have never gone through it ever again. Never, ever again. Folks, God manifests himself through healing in your body. Glory to God. I don't understand if you are in fellowship with your Heavenly Father, how you could ever doubt His desire to work in your body. There's all these debates among denominations whether Jesus is a healer or not. I'm here to tell you, He's a healer. Amen. Glory to God. Here's another more dramatic way that God can manifest Himself, you know, in your life. And this was, oh boy, the time is going by so fast. And I don't want to say, I mean, somewhere in 8 years ago, 9 years ago now. But it was, this building was here. And this had to do with a dear older couple in our church family. And many of you know that you've been around for a while. You know this precious couple. Her husband is now in heaven. But Betsy Vick. How many of you know our dear sister Betsy? Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. And I know she's just in the midst of a move to South Carolina, and I know she wouldn't mind to tell this testimony because her and I talk about it all the time. All the time, what God did. So one day, right over here on Baker Street Extension, just right over here, just a couple miles from where we're all sitting right now, I was on my way that morning to a dentist appointment. Okay, go to your dentist, right? Take care of your teeth. Praise the Lord. And so I'm on my way to my dentist appointment. I was going down Southwestern Drive. How many of you know where that hill going down Southwestern Drive to Baker Street? And you got that blinking red light there. And I was coming down the hill, Southwestern Drive. Folks, I wasn't doing any special praying. I wasn't trying to have an experience with God. I was just going to my dentist appointment. And I'm not going to try to over-spiritualize things. I don't believe in grandstanding, you know. I wasn't doing any special praying. I wasn't trying to, you know, nothing like that. I had no inclination about what was about to happen. I'm pulling up to that blinking red light at Southwestern Drive and Baker Street Extension, and a voice within my truck, a voice. I don't mean I heard it in here. I don't mean it was just on the inside. It was like somebody spoke to me from my back seat and said, turn left. I'm like, turn left. That goes nowhere. My dentist office is straight, and I'm running late as it is. And I start arguing in our mind. You say, Pastor, it's so supernatural. Like, why would you question that? Folks, that goes to tell you just how much our carnal mind is the enemy of God. We question everything up here. The voice again said, turn left. And I stood there just like, okay, I'm turning left. And I turned left. It was all, that little exchange was about less than 10 seconds. Yeah. Turn left. I doubted it. Turn left. Doubted it. Turn left. I turned left up Baker Street. I'm just driving. I'm like, I guess I'm not going to my dentist today. I'm driving along. And I just get up to the top of the hill there. You know that big hill that you go up immediately going up Baker Street Extension there out towards Cummins and all that. You know, I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I look over to my left. I see a little red car that's pulled over to the side of the road, and I drive by, and I look, and I see Betsy Vick, our dear sister from the church, and she just looked very normal, you know, getting out, and she was lifting up the trunk of her car, and I saw a police officer who had just switched his lights on, and he was just starting to pull up, and I went by, and I said, oh, Betsy Vick, she must have a flat tire. And I thought to myself, oh, but the police officer is there. We'll let him change the tire. Because I'm thinking, I'm still going to my dentist appointment. I'm thinking, that's not really a reason to stop. But you would think, well, Pastor, didn't you put two and two together? No, I'm just trying to be as smart as all of you are, you know. And so I just kept going, just, you know, just cruising along. I said, oh, there's Betsy Vick. Oh, she must have a flat tire. Oh, that police officer is going to take care of that. I guess I'll go down here a little ways and go to my dentist appointment. And the same voice spoke up again and said, turn around. And then I realized this is for Betsy. I turn around, and as I got there, so the police officer car was there with his lights on, and then her little red car. And so I just pulled my truck up in front of her car, and I got out, and I got to the back of my truck, and I looked to my left. Betsy was over there standing in the tall weeds, you know, just off the road, you know, on the other side of the ditch there. And I saw her standing there, and I looked over, and I could see Ivan, her husband, which many of you know Ivan, you know, if you were around here. Precious, awesome, wonderful man, part of our church for many years here. And I looked over there, and the police officer was just getting inside his door, and I could look, and I could see Ivan had gone to heaven. Ivan was gone. he had just all of a sudden just had a massive heart attack, and Ivan just left this earth, like literally. And this all was just all within just a minute of time, you know. And I looked over, and Betsy was obviously very upset, standing over there in the grass. And she was, you know, just starting to make a phone call. I mean, it was the most difficult moment of her life.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks over. Oh, get ready. Get ready to help me. I don't think Toast is going to bail us out of this. And so I look over, and she, like, drops a phone near her face. She looks over. She's like, Pastor Tim, how are you here? How are you here? And, of course, you know, I mean, all this had just happened within that minute. By the time I got down the road, she had pulled over because something had happened to Ivan.
Yeah.
Just right when I was going by, she had just gotten out of her car and was just trying to find anything to help. You know, the cop was just pulling up, and I don't know if the cops were even called yet. That officer just saw her pulling over and decided to try to help her. You know, and so this was all very quickly. And, you know, basically I got to walk up to Betsy, you know, and no, it didn't make everything turn into rainbows and sunshine. That was a very difficult day. But it goes to show you what God wants to do to make the toughest moment of your life. Because instantly I got to be there, and still to this day, me and Betsy, we talk about it all the time. That she's like, that's the most supernatural thing.
Yes.
She said, that's the most supernatural thing that ever happened to me.
Yes.
And I, you know, got to tell her the story. I said, when she said, well, Pastor Tim, how in the world are you here? She just looked up. She's like, you just appeared out of nowhere. I said, no, I didn't step off a cloud. It was my Ford F-150, you know, but I walked out, and I got to hug her and then be with her that whole rest of the day. And it was a very difficult day for Betsy, but it became somewhat lighter to have someone there that God could use, amen, to make the toughest moment of her life just to carry some of that burden. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God wants to manifest himself to you. I believe in the supernatural. Do you believe in the supernatural? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I had a lot of other things here, but we'll end with this. And I know I've been telling this a lot lately because I just feel led that I'm supposed to tell this. It's been, you know, many years, and I just don't believe, you know, that ministers should ever try to, you know, bring attention to themselves through telling stories and things like that. Folks, again, this is just to get you hungry for how good God is. I'm here to tell you, he is your father. He is gonna be there for you. He's gonna provide for you. We gotta believe it though, amen, praise the Lord. And so when I was a young man, I very much ran from God. I knew from the time I was a little kid that I just believed in God. We're not gonna make it through this story. we're gonna, oh my goodness. You know, Pastor Brad got us kicked off today with some crying. I'm going to, you know, try to keep it together the best I can. It's okay, because, I mean, no one will ever convince me otherwise that, you know, and if you, again, don't believe my stories because they're my stories. You know, take it from, you know, the Word, and I was going to take you over to Acts chapter 2. Remember in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He said, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Well, that's what the scripture says will happen in the end days. It doesn't mean everyone will have an experience like this, but I had that happen to me, you know, as a young man, just about 19 years old, getting ready to move out, you know, go up to Fredonia State and all this stuff. I was running from God. I was not living for the Lord. Nothing. Pastor Brad, I'm going to need a hug. But I'll tell you, so 19 years old, again, I certainly wasn't praying, wasn't trying to have any experience like this. I didn't believe in experiences like this. But I was, at 19 years old, all of a sudden, I had a vision. And that's the only way I can describe it. That's how the Bible would describe it. It does feel weird for me to even say that. But All of a sudden, I was standing in a large room. I don't even know how I knew it was a room, but I just knew that it was. And I was standing there like this, and many of you have heard this story, but I'm telling it again for our new people. In this vision, I was standing in this room. My feet were together like this. My hands were at my side, and my chin was all the way down, like almost on, like on my chest. And I was looking at the floor, and I could not move my head or my neck in any direction. It was like I was just stuck right like this. And I could see a floor, and yes, it was white. And about 4 to 5 feet in front of me, there was somebody standing there because I could see his feet. I could see part of his clothing, but I could not lift my head, but I could lift my eyes like this. My eyes could move, but my neck or my head, my chin could not move. And I'm just looking down at the floor, and about 4 or 5 feet in front of me, there was feet in front of me. There was someone standing there. I looked up to try to see his face, but I could not see his face. I never saw his face, but I knew who it was. Oh. Yeah, I knew who it was. You know, how can we say this? It's funny how much we truly know that we're running from God. I knew him, and I knew I was running from him. I knew it. I was even a teenager and knew it. And I'm standing there, and I knew who it was. He never said anything. There was no word spoken. And I'm standing there, and I can see feet, but his clothing was covering much of his feet. And I'm standing there, and I just started remembering being a Sunday school kid growing up. And I started to remember all the flannel graphs. How many of you remember flannel graphs? Remember that little sticky board? Flannel graph. We got some flannel graphers, right? And I remember seeing pictures, you know, in Sunday school, and I would see the scars on Jesus' hands. And remember those old pictures that just made it look like those scars were like a glorified scratch? They were just kind of like a little slit or, you know, a little kind of mark there on the front and back of his hands. And so I remembered that as I stood there, and I just thought to myself, I want to see his hands. And so like this, I looked over to my left, which would be his right hand, and I tried to see his right hand, and his hands were also at his side like this. And again, I didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, yeah. You know, all of a sudden, he just knew what I was looking for. I didn't ask. He didn't say it. And all of a sudden, I saw his right hand move out in front of him like this. And again, I'm like this. So that hand comes up just a couple of feet in front of me like that. And folks, when we see those pictures of the scratches on Jesus' hands, I'm just here to testify, that's not what I saw at all. I saw a hole through his hand that was so big, I compared it to the size of a 50-cent piece or like a silver dollar. It was huge. I could see the floor through his hand. Light could pass through that hand. It was so large. And I just remember just seeing that hand come up towards me. And then the first thought I had is, that's not what they showed us. That's not what I expected to see at all. And he stopped his hand right out in front of me. And as, you know, my chin was down, I don't know how I knew to do this. I just knew what to do. I took my right hand just like this, in this shape. You know how you'd take your index finger and your thumb? I reached up to that hand that was right in front of me, and with my thumb and my index finger, I touched my thumb and my index finger through the hole in his hand. I'm trying to get through this. Big time, because every time I tell this story, it was so real. No one will ever talk me out of it. Nope. It's not a toast kind of day. I cannot describe those 2 seconds. I cannot describe it.
Pancakes.
We're moving down the breakfast food line now. But isn't it funny how stuff like that just works? It just works. I cannot describe, it's not even a feeling. I don't know if it was power. I don't know if it was electricity. I don't know if it was joy. I don't know what that was. But if you have somebody who is in heaven, that's what they're walking in. Every minute of every day. I believe it. I believe it. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, you must have, you know, just been the most holiest, perfect 19-year-old kid. No. Nope. You say, well, man, that must have just changed your life instantly. Actually, I ran even further. I ran even further. Because never underestimate how an unrenewed mind will fight and resist the supernatural power of God. God is real. He is supernatural. He will manifest himself to you. He said that he would. It might not be as dramatic as all that. You say, well, Pastor, have you ever had an experience so dramatic, you know, as a pastor? Well, you know what? Well, I don't know as if I could compare it. No, I've never seen Christ like that as a pastor. You know why? Because ultimately where he wants us to get is to not have to see him like that. He would much rather that we would see him through the eyes of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you, God has a plan. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to know you. He wants to reveal himself to you. But I'm going to tell you where it all starts. Start obeying his word. Obey the word. And then obey his voice to you. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. Be proficient in those. Listen, I tell you what, being led of the Spirit, the inward witness, that'll be 95% of all the supernatural that you'll live by. You can't live on visions every day. You can't live on dreams every day. But I'm here to tell you, he's real. He's supernatural. And don't let your carnal mind start getting convinced that he's not there to take care of you. Your heavenly Father has got you. Stop being concerned about what's going on in your finances. Stop worrying about these relationships in your family. Stop worried about all this stuff. I'm here to tell you, he has delivered us from that spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, my Father. He is my caregiver. He is my life giver. He is my promise keeper. Amen. Did you get something out of this here today? I believe in the supernatural. I believe, and I know I told the experience that I had with the Book of Life and all that, and I won't go into it all over again. But I believe that in some way, you know, those visions were given. I saw the best of what God has to offer, and I saw the dread of the other alternative. I experienced the dread of what it would be like to be lost and be cast away from God. And then I also experienced the sheer energy or joy or whatever that was of what we can walk in someday. Amen. And start walking in this life as well. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's how it happens. You know, Lester Sumrall, great evangelist, you know, of the early 1900s and beyond. You know, when he was an 18-year-old running from God, the Lord gave him a vision and he saw a Bible and a casket. And the Lord said, if you don't obey me, this is what's going to happen. Not that God was trying to kill him. But when we disobey God, we go out on the minefield and bad things can happen. And the Lord showed him, if you don't obey me, you're going to end up in this casket and you're going to end up dead young. And he said, also, God gave Lester Sumrall a vision of hell. And then he showed him the Bible, said, you can be a preacher of the Word of God. And at a young age, he made a decision to be a preacher because I tell you what, the alternative, you know, was no alternative at all. Sometimes God will absolutely show us the extremes. Is it this or is it that? I'll tell you what, follow him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord, you are so faithful and good. Lord, we're not here to teach man's experiences. But Lord, these testimonies can serve as an example of what we're talking about. Lord, you said if we'll follow and obey your word, you'll manifest yourself to us. You'll show us your hand in our lives every day. Maybe the Lord has manifested himself to you and that he healed your body. Maybe he manifested himself towards you and restored your marriage. Maybe he manifested himself towards you miraculously, maybe financially even. Maybe he manifested himself towards you in a vision or in a dream. Maybe he's talking to you every single day. Maybe you're hearing his voice. Maybe you know there's an assignment on your life and you're running from it like I was at a young age. I'll tell you what, it's much, much better, happier, joyful, blessed to obey. Obey God. Have convictions in your life. Demonstrate what you believe. Don't just say you believe it. Live it. God loves you. Heaven and hell are real. God is real. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on that cross. He rose again from the dead. His blood was shed so that our sins could be washed, so that we could stand before God and not be judged, so that we could be saved from eternal punishment. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you've never gotten saved, if you've never committed your life to him, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God's got his hand reaching out for us. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need that. I need to be saved. I need my sins to be washed. If that's you, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to send anybody to you. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand for 1 second. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in that prayer, and right there in your seat between you and the Lord, you can confess him as Lord and Savior. You can invite him into your heart and your life. You can give yourself to him. It's not about this church. It certainly isn't about me. But if that's you, could you just take that moment and lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Anyone else that says, Pastor, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. God loves you. I'm here to tell you, there is so much joy in this redemption of Christ. Before we pray, anybody else before we pray? I saw three different individuals that lifted their hands. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand today, speak this to God. It's not about talking to me or anyone around you. Speak these words out of your mouth. We will all be praying with you. Speak it with all your sincerity. God will hear you. Let's pray this together. Everyone repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of this here today? I'll tell you what, get hungry for God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Appreciate everybody being patient. If you're new, we went a little bit longer today. We appreciate you being willing. Let's just give God the glory and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we praise you today. We thank you that your blessing is upon each one. Father, you are faithful and good. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You